The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the show?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down! Walk right up to
the side. A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes now streaming. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with the Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. The subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.
Illinois can shoot the basketball. That's what we learned in their 106-48 rout of St. Francis. Just demolish a lower-level team as they should. I'm Jeremy Warner. He's Derek Piper at State Farm Center, where Illinois gets a feel-good win and sets a program record for made threes. 18 of 34 from three. They've made 34 three-pointers over the last two games. They're second in the country among high major teams, Derek, in three-pointers per game, that's made per game, behind only Villanova. That's pretty good company to have. But Alfonso Plummer, Jacob Grandison, Trent Frazier, and then, yeah, guys like Coleman Hawkins, Luke Goody, Brandon Pajimski sends the record down with his late three. This team's got a lot of shooters, and as Kofi said, it's by design, Derek.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the schematic, you know, dream to have a interior force like Kofi and his dominance, throw it inside and see what he can do, and to surround him with a bunch of shooters and not to have really too many guys out there that you feel are non-shooters. Brad says that there's no bad shooters on this team. I don't know if I'm going to go that far. I mean, but in terms of the way, especially your trio of Trent, Grandison, and Plummer just continuing to stay on this incredible heater last three games, they're shooting over combined like over 50% from three, so that's been great. It was good to see DeMonte knock one down tonight or today, and Coleman gets a couple, Luke Goody, Pajemski, like a lot of different guys that maybe as this season furthers on, you know, can have a little bit more support to that. But you know, Brad really said since the offseason we're going to be a much better shooting team, and they're showing that over a growing sample size, so that's certainly very good to see. And you look at the blueprint of Purdue. Like, Purdue has great inside game, and they're shooting 40% from three around that. So Illinois pretty much has a very similar thing going with Kofi inside, and I think 39% from three going there. So that would be, as you project out this Big Ten title race when we resume Big Ten play, that would be something to look at. But they're hard to guard. They're hard to guard, and despite a week off, they kept the flame-throwing going from the outside.
Yeah, and it's just not like they're throwing up a bunch of threes and, you know, 40 a game and making 12 of them, right, with a low percentage. Efficiency is insane. They're 15th right now, according to KenPom, 39% from three this season. I mean, that is ridiculous. And over the last seven games, they've made now – I'm doing math in my head as we do this – they've made 88 threes during the last seven games, and I believe it's over 45% now after what they did tonight. Yeah, I mean, and they're doing this, Derek, and there's no big takeaway against St. Francis, right? Like, this is a great KenPom game. Like, you rose a bunch of spots in the KenPom up to 13 because of the discrepancy, because of the efficiency, 1.7 points per possession. Defensively, you hold them to 0.8, so very good game overall, but you expect to win maybe not by 50-something points, but you expect to crush a team like this. But this is against Rutgers, against Arizona, against Notre Dame, against Kansas State, which is a really good defense. That's who you're doing this against, Derek. So it's translated, and they've done it without their point guard. So how have they been able to be this good offensively without Andre Curbelo out there?
Yeah, the passing of Kofi has certainly opened things up, his ability to get the ball inside and not be a black hole. And I mean, when you have him scoring one of the top clips in the country, you of course want him to be aggressive, but his willingness to recognize open guys when the double teams come. And I think that there's been a change here, an evolution in the last week or so, or a couple of weeks, is just the ball movement when it gets kicked back out, or even if it doesn't go inside, it's just finding the best shot available and watching the ball movement around the perimeter. That's something that there were possessions, you know, earlier in November where this team was struggling, and maybe one pass and then a shot. And this, you know, Brad wants to play fast, but it is being able to have that feel and chemistry. And this has, you know, without Curbelo, that's not a new development. So they're starting to, you know, they've come into their own in terms of knowing how to play together and play off of each other. So, and a lot of it has to do with Plummer. I mean, Plummer just doesn't need a lot of space. He comes off a screen and his defender might, you know, be right on his hip, but he elevates really well. He's got a great quick release. Grandison, he continues to get left in that corner. I know it's because of the attention that Kofi commands or just the defense breaking down, but that's automatic. And now Trent is feeling pretty good with his shot. So that's all come together. Those guys have been really reliable. And then just the ball movement, I think, has really opened things up and allowed a lot of open shots.
Yeah, we talk all about Plummer, as we should. He is on one heck of a heater right now, shooting 50% from three basically the last seven games. Grandison shooting that for the season. Grandison's at 50%, 23 of 46 for the season. What a huge scoring boost he's been with Io DeSumo gone, right? And Brad said after the game he learned a lot from Io about work ethic and the kind of work you got to put in. And Trent Frazier, after the injuries, is really back. I mean, is a shooter right now, so that's good to see. And if you get DeMonte going and get Coleman going a little bit, if those guys are north of 33%, yeah, this is a really tough team to cover with a 7-foot, 285-pound All-American. I don't think any of us have questions offensively. This is a great offensive team, and it has been for most of the year outside of that really Cincinnati game and Marquette without Kofi there. So I think you feel really good offensively with where this team is at, who is on the floor now with everybody healthy outside of Andre Kerbeau and Austin Hutcherson. But just to put this in perspective, Derek, Illinois is averaging 10.4 threes per game. The record for a season, of course, is 0-4-0-5, and that team was before this three-point explosion in the NBA and really college basketball. They average 8.8 per game that season. This team shooting 39% from three. That 0-4-0-5 team shot 39.2%. from three. And then you got to go back to the 90s and 80s when they didn't shoot that many threes to get above 40. So this team is on a record pace. I think Alfonso Plummer is on a record pace for threes right now. If he continues this and they play 30, 32 games, he's got a chance to pass Luther Head at some point this season of most threes made in a season. So it's amazing, at least in the offensively, this is probably going to be, or it has been, potentially one of Illinois' best offensive teams in their history. It's been pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, and that says a lot to lose Io and the type of scorer that he was, and then, you know, just an All-American, a guy that was putting up, you know, close to 20 a game last year, and he leaves, and you're going to maybe be a better offensive team, maybe a more productive offensive team because of some of the additional shooting, obviously. And, yeah, the sample size is growing. This is not just some two or three game stretch where they've gotten red hot. You know, six of the last seven games they made double digit threes, and it's something that you definitely got to account for and find an answer to. And Grandison continues to bring it up, like, pick your poison. That is what you got to do in terms of trying to decide how much you're crashing in inside. And if you're not, if you're going to stick to shooters, then it's one-on-one ball for Kofi, which doesn't go well, especially for St. Francis. I feel really bad for those big guys. It's hard to even call them big guys. They're tall guys, pretty thin. But, yeah, I mean, it's to be up there in the top of the high major group and made threes per game, it's something that they are putting emphasis on. And, I mean, credit to Grandison, man. I mean, I think that he has really made a stride, just being able to take more volume and be more of a focal guy, and He's a knockdown shooter.
Brad Underwood's first couple years he talked about today weren't very good shooters. They shot 33% his first year from three, 34 his next year, 30 that year they were going to make the NCAA tournament before the pandemic shut everything down. Last year, 37. This year, 39. But they're just shooting such a higher level of three-point attempts. This year, they're 53rd in the country in three-point attempt percentage of shots that are three-point attempts. Last year they were 320th. So this team can get them up. And then defensively, Derek, like, listen, St. Francis is not a team that's going to challenge you on that end, but it was nice to see Illinois when their starters were in. After those first three threes that St. Francis made, and two of them were contested with hands in the face, but Illinois really locked down after that, which they should. But it was nice to see, because that's the end where they got to be better, right? I mean, that's why they lost to Arizona, was they didn't play good defense. And usually in the games they have lost, it's been the defense that has failed them.
Yeah, you speak of KenPom numbers. I would not want to see what St. Francis' three-point field goal percentage defense, which was 328th going into this game. It might be the worst in the country, or very down there now. But for all that being said about the offense, Brad, you knew, was most focused on his defense because that was the big emphasis of the entire week of practice. And he talked about trying to improve the ball screen defense, the transition defense, and just being tougher. He's called this team out for toughness, and a lot of that is just being able to stop the ball and be able to execute and stack stops on top of each other defensively. And, yeah, St. Francis made a couple of threes early, but overall Illinois just made things difficult for them. And St. Francis has not taken a whole lot of threes. That's not really their game. They have broken teams down off the dribble and gotten to the rim. They wanted to play pick-and-roll ball and exploit Kofi, which Kofi was really noticeably active in his stance. I know that Brad talked about that. And you just didn't have too many defensive mistakes. And Brad will continue to nitpick and try to find perfection at that end of the floor. And, again, you're playing St. Francis, so you're expected to dominate in that kind of a matchup. Missouri's pretty awful offensively. So, but it is rising to the challenge and taking steps back towards, you know, this team. You look at KenPom projections or just kind of where you expected, supposed to be one of the better defensive teams in college basketball, and they haven't been that to this point and still have some room to grow. But this was a step in the right direction for sure.
Yeah, and I thought for most of the Iowa game, they played well defensively until Keegan Murray really went off on them late and made that game close. So that's the more kind of performance you want to see for most of a game, right? Stringing it together. And I think for a lot of these guys, it might just be focus on the defensive end. Michael Tuip had a great film breakdown of Alfonso Plummer. He's capable defensively, but it's just the focus lacks at times. I think DeMonte's had some moments, and we'll get into the youth here a little bit, but Coleman Hawkins certainly can be better at that end as well. But Missouri, this is going to be a nice test. It's a bad team right now. I mean, they are not very good this year. But you've lost this game 3 years in a row, Derek, because as you and I know covering this game, it's mostly about who's more up for this game. And the last 3 years, Missouri certainly has been up for this game. And think of those teams we're talking about, like two of the best Illinois teams in recent memory that Missouri and Javon Pickett have been able to defeat. There's no Drew Smith this year. There's no Jeremiah Tillman. Illinois already played Mark Smith and beat him. There's no Xavier Pinson, who's been an Illini killer, a Simeon kid. So this team has been really bad. They're 5-5 so far this year. I know the cliche, throw the records out, but this one, it's kind of true. But this is the kind of year, Derek, where you don't want it. Like, the record should matter. This Missouri team is not good. This Illinois team is good. This is a game they need to win, and they need to be up for.
This should be the perfect storm of a matchup where you should dominate in terms of the talent, just the way that Illinois is trending here recently, and Missouri's been an absolute mess. And then the fact that you can tell that both Brad and when Kofi was talking about it after this game, they recognize that there needs to be a shift in how they approach this game. Last year and years past, it's been, you know, we're everyday guys. It's no game is bigger than the other. We're trying to stay even keeled. Now it's like, no, actually, this one is approached differently. Like, the way Missouri looks at it, it's their Super Bowl. It's the Javon Pickett Super Bowl. Illinois needs to value that and get up for it. And they're hungry. It seems like, you know, Kofi talked about the sitting at home over Christmas break and just thinking about it when you lose that game. I would expect a spirited week or a couple days of practice and then a motivated team. And then really you look at the rosters and Illinois should absolutely just pummel them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it's one of the best games of the year, but recently it has not been for Illinois.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right!
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Okay, Derek, this was a good glimpse at some youth for Illinois. Some of it good. Some of the freshmen they were able to get into the game. But let's bring up Coleman Hawkins, because I do feel like this is becoming a concern is Coleman Hawkins' play, especially early in games. He comes off the bench for the first time this year. I talked about with Michael Tuip whether that should happen, and Jacob Grandison didn't seem to affect him, which is good since he started and had 18 points tonight. But Coleman came off the bench, and on a play where St. Francis had four offensive rebounds, which is the biggest nitpick of this game, is St. Francis had, what, 17 offensive rebounds of their 27 in this game? Coleman Hawkins didn't put a body on anybody. And two of them, Brad said, were his fault. But he didn't put a body on anybody. Plays just 2 minutes. And second half, he comes out and he comes back and gets some numbers, hit two threes, had 8 points, two rebounds. You hope he gets some confidence from that. But Brad is tough on him. I mean, anybody who's in the arena sees it. I don't know if everybody on TV gets to see it, but he lays into Coleman. And you're wondering, after game of that happening, is that the best approach with Coleman Hawkins? Now, Coleman came out and played well, but you can tell he's just not confident right now. And I asked Brad about the approach with Coleman. And, you know, he said, I expect a lot out of him. We need him. So it's just he's so important for this team, Derek, because they don't have anybody like him in the front court. They need – that coaching staff has to find a way to get better, more consistent play out of him. He's going through growing pains. I think we all expected that. But this is a huge part of the season for him, it feels like.
Yeah, most definitely. And you would have expected this kind of matchup to be one where he shines and has a really nice bounce back. And ultimately, the stat line looks decent, you know, given the fact that he played 9 minutes, had 8 points, and did knock down a couple of threes late. But you want to see more rebounds. You want to see more sustained minutes and ultimately just getting in more of a rhythm and a flow. And he's had too many games here in the last month where he plays 4 minutes, gets pulled out of the game, doesn't play the rest of the first half, not only just because of maybe some foul trouble, but just not giving the type of consistent effort or just, you know, being reliable. I think that he's got to be more reliable at both ends of the floor, and really defensively is kind of where it starts. And Brad talked a lot about needing that accountability back in the program and in practice, like in terms of when defensive breakdowns happen or guys are missing assignments or not being tough enough, like you got to be able to be accountable. And I think that he held Coleman accountable for not going after rebounds. So he's really talented. Like that, we continue to come back to that. And that is the ultimate line in terms of, you know, what he can be, but he's got to figure it out. He's got to be able to be more engaged. He does sometimes try to make up for his mistakes offensively by forcing the issue at times, and his offensive night was just fine. But being a guy to go put a body on someone, be tougher, just have some urgency, because there were stretches early on in this year where he was all over the floor. Yes. Like this guy's motor was running at a super high clip, and we did not see that tonight in those early minutes. He was just kind of standing around.
Yeah, for him, I would just keep it simple. You're a really good passer. Continue to do that. Don't try to take it off the bounce too much. You're capable of it. If it's open, take it, but don't try to force it. And just be locked in defensively and put your body on somebody. You don't have to grab every rebound, but put your body on somebody. You can draw a foul if somebody knocks you over because you're smaller than them or not as big as them. But just be active on defense, and sometimes it just doesn't look like he's active. I just think he needs to focus on that. And when there's an open three, shoot him. He showed tonight. You know, he can make those two of three. He's been really hesitant here recently doing that. Benjamin Bossman's Verdonk, man, what a low major killer. Really nice performance for him tonight. 4 points, two rebounds, three assists. He does a really good job of getting Kofi the ball. He's a guy that you can just put in spot minutes. Like, I don't think against high major opponents you're going to put Bossman's in and expect a ton out of him. But he's in the right place at the right time, which for big men, Derek, like that's what Omar Payne is really struggling with, is being at the right place at the right time. Omar Payne follows people. He doesn't get rebounds right now. And you're not going to – I'm comfortable with Bossman's having an entry pass. I'm not comfortable with Omar Payne having to do that if Kofi is in the game. So it's just been interesting, man, that like you look at this right now and Bossman's Verdonk is like your most trusted backup to Kofi right now.
Amazing. It's not something you would have anticipated, and if you would have told people that in the beginning of the year, they would have terrified them. Now, again, to your point, like the low major versus high major, I think his scoring in particular, like being able to finish around the basket, is certainly noticeable, where you can do that against some smaller teams, not so much when you get more length and athleticism.
I got it. I know the comp. He's Cordell Pencil. Cordell Pemsel could not score against anybody, but he's a big body you can throw in there for a couple spot minutes in a Big Ten game and feel like you can survive with him. I think that's Bosman's Verdonk's role on this team.
Yeah, which is fine. I think that's a fine role, and it's good just to see him be able to build something, you know, to have some progress and be able to be available, and he still has a lot of eligibility, honestly. I don't want to get too far ahead, but he's doing some nice things here and there. Now, offensively, he does leave more to be desired sometimes, but good passer. And as Brad was saying after the game, doesn't make a ton of mistakes. So you know he's going to play hard. You know he's not going to be afraid to put a body on somebody. You know he's going to get Kofi the ball. So for your third big man, although sometimes moving towards your second big man behind Kofi, not too bad.
Serviceable. I want to bring up Brandon Podziemski, one of the first guys off the bench today. What'd you think when that happened, and what'd you think of Air Pods today with the dunk, makes the record for three. What'd you see out of Pods?
Yeah, nice little stretch for him there in the sequence at the very end with the transition dunk, and then knocks down the three for the record. I mean, you got to feel good for him to get some confidence as a guy that if you're taking Brad's word for it, which I am, that he's had a really nice stretch of practice here recently, and that tells me that it's a guy that's not getting too discouraged by not having minutes or not feeling rewarded by being able to come in and make shots. So he's working at it and staying with it. So clearly it was something that the coaching staff rewarded him with, and they felt good about what he's been showing there. So hopefully for him, something he can build on, because he is – you don't put up 35 a game. I know that the competition you continue to talk about, and it wasn't very good competition today. You don't do that if you're not at least a gifted scorer. So it was interesting. I didn't expect him to get in the game before Luke Goody. I don't know that I'm going to expect that against Missouri or really going forward. But, I don't want to say too much.
I'm not putting him in the rotation. I'm not putting him in the rotation. Like, the one thing that stood out to me, Brad said he hasn't missed a shot in 3 weeks, which is probably hyperbole, but we know, like, he's got a good stroke. Like, he scored a lot at the high school level, made a bunch of threes. He said something about his defensive progress, which is, like, that's how you get on the court. Like, the guy that Brandon Podziemski could possibly be for this pro is like a Brad Davidson, right, or somebody like that, like, that has really gotten after people, and that's – if he can defend at this level, I think eventually he can score. He can dribble. He can go off the bounce. He can shoot the ball. I don't think that's going to be your concern. But, like, hearing that for the long term for me, not the short term, but for the long term, I think is a good sign that he's starting to get some trust or get some buy-in on that end.
Yeah, it's encouraging. And it is someone that came in and physically is decently built for a freshman guard. I know that he's maybe not – as tall as you would expect for an off guard, because he's not really a natural point, but yeah, buying into that when you come from a big time scoring background. We know that, I'm not saying he's going to be Trent Frazier, but Trent Frazier didn't maybe guard anybody in high school, didn't have to, because he was just a bucket getter. Having Pods have some maturation in that sense, and understanding what it takes to stay on the floor, that's a good sign for a guy that's still got a lot of basketball in front of him, and that is encouraging. These are the type of games that, you know, you want to see that progress with this type of player, and this is a good opportunity for him.
I continue to be chairman of the board of the Luke Goody fan club. I guess Latuip is up there too, but I love his minutes, man. He was 20 plus 21. I know it's a block game, but plus 21 in 14 minutes, 6 points, 3 rebounds. I just think his defense is so good for a freshman. Like, I don't want him like guarding the best player like Mathurin all the time, but like, he just knows, like I say this all the time, but knows where to be, when to be there. He gets vertical when he contests shots. I just think he plays like a junior already on that end, which is really encouraging to me. And he made one of those key passes on probably the possession of the year, where they had, what, 5 passes in a row to get Alfonso Plummer a wide open corner three. He plays like a vet, man. I just continue to be really impressed. And as you're looking for scoring next year, you're looking for guys that are going to step up next year. I think Luke Goody is going to be a really good starter by next season.
Just so rock solid. I mean, there's only so many ways you can really describe it. But a guy that you really trust, a guy that's a knockdown shooter, I don't think that's debatable. And then willing to rebound, willing to make good passes. And the fact that he isn't a liability defensively says something, certainly. And I think you look back to, for as mature and a guy in great Jacob Grandison last year that came in as a transfer and had played – a decent amount of Division I basketball. Like, it took a while for him to really get it acclimated. Like, Luke Goody looks further along than Jacob Grandison did 10 games, 11 games into his start at Illinois. So that says a lot for a freshman, for a younger guy. And, I mean, we even saw someone who it clicked for and Alan Griffin ultimately. Took a long time for Alan to be able to earn trust and get on the floor and do the right things. Like, Luke has really done that for the most part from the very beginning. And I'd be really excited about him, you know, just being able to contribute later in this year, but also big picture, I think that he can be one of your better players, you know, as an upperclassman.
Yeah, and you got an extended look at another guy in this class of 2021, and that was R.J. Melendez, played 9 minutes. Filled up the stat sheet for that 9 minutes. 5 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 0 turnovers in that time, Derek. You see the flashes of why Overtime Elite was interested in this kid, because his ceiling among these guys is probably the highest, because he's 6'7", he's long, he's athletic. You see the skill shooting the ball. He can take people off the dribble, pull up. And I just think defensively he could be great. Like, if he wants to be great, I think he could be really great on the defensive end. So, again, this is more long-term. I don't know if R.J. Melendez is going to be a guy you count on very much, but, like, you see the flashes in games like tonight and in earlier games. That's like, this kid could be really good if he – you know, works at his game, and obviously the coaching gets him there. So there's an exciting ceiling about him. It's just the reliability probably on defense is where Underwood's really focused.
Yeah, for sure. And this is a good opportunity for him to kind of just remember who he is as a player when you get caught in the stretch of high major opponents and not get a lot of minutes. But to get that confidence, continue to build up, and you know, maybe someone that can contribute when you get back into Big Ten play for some spot minutes here or there. But there's a lot of tools to his game. Like, I think that we've talked about his length. We talked about his athleticism. And he is fairly smooth overall in terms of making some plays there. And can score, can pass, can rebound. And defensively, I think as he gets another year, we can always come back to, like, another year of lifting weights and working on his explosion and everything. Like, he's got a chance. He's got a chance to be a pretty nice piece.
All right, just a bye game. Right, but you did what you're supposed to do in a bye game. St. Francis gets a check. Thank you for the beatdown. We'll go home and take our check. But now you got Missouri and Florida A&M. But most importantly, Derek, you got 2 weeks of two games before Big Ten play really kicks in. When you're at Minnesota, Minnesota's playing well. You're home against Maryland, then you're at Nebraska. Winnable stretch of games are three of the probably bottom half of the Big Ten, but that's when it really kicks in. So this is a really important 2 weeks for them, not only with just getting two more wins, getting a 10-3 out of non-conference play, but also I know they're going home for the holidays, but there's a lot of practice involved over the next couple weeks where, as Brad said yesterday, like, there's a lot of Brad Underwood practices going on. So this is an important time for the development of this team.
Yeah, majorly. And continuing to make those strides defensively and just clean up some little things, anything that you can. And it'll be interesting as we continue to watch and wait the integration of Andre Curbelo back into this lineup, if that's going to happen, you know, whenever that's going to happen. So that would be something I'd be wondering about during this stretch where you don't have a ton of games. But, yeah, I mean, we're only – I know that you look at these next two games and even the start of Big Ten play, which I wouldn't assume anything at Minnesota, especially road game against a team that's playing fairly well. But we're less than a month from – Michigan and Purdue coming into this building with a lot to play for. So this is a chance to really fine-tune things, continue to get better, and just make the most of practice where, you know, Brad's talked a lot about not having that opportunity and the injuries. Now you're outside of Andre, like, pretty darn healthy as a team.
Yeah, you don't want to take anything for granted, but there is an opportunity to win 5 games in a row here before Michigan and Purdue come to town. And you're thinking about Illinois would be ranked at that point if they do that. They'd be 5-0 in Big Ten play if they do that. You have to take it step by step, but it's sitting there right in front of you for this team to really put a good run together. All right, for Derek Piper, I'm Jeremy Warner at State Farm Center. Illinois again defeats St. Francis 106-48 with the program record 18 threes. Thanks for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review, wherever you get your podcasts. Everybody have a great week, and if you're down at Bragging Rights in St. Louis, one of the best atmospheres in college basketball, and you see us, say hey. We'll say hey back. Everybody have a great holiday weekend as well. And take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount+.